Thank you, Scott. Let's turn in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. I can think of no better way for us to begin this new year than by gathering together to hear a word from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a good way to start. I'm so thankful for what the Lord's done for us this year and how gracious and good He's been to us. And He's brought us together and given us a unity here that's just something very, very special and very precious to me. It's my prayer that as we go into the new year, that God would give us a heart to want to serve Him with renewed zeal, with more zeal than ever. Learn to serve one another better and learn to find new ways that we can get the preaching of the gospel out into the world. I was thinking about our believing college students. And I was thinking if you could find a place where we could hold a service on or near campus, if there was an interest there, I would be more than happy to go there and preach the gospel. Some of these faithful men could do it. I've known of faithful ladies who've gone and to a local nursing home and they'd read scripture to the elderly that can't get out. And if we had some avenue opened up there, I'd be happy to go and preach the gospel there. The place such as television or on radio or a newspaper, if they print faithful articles, if we could find something like that, and if you could be looking for something like that, have your eye out, that would be wonderful. And of course, we'll need to be kind of keeping our eye out for a building and for some land because it's getting close to that time where we're going to be ready for that. And if we could find something before we think we're ready, we'll never know what the Lord will do. He might open up a door for that already. But as we serve the Lord, this is certain. No matter what it is we're doing, we're going to face opposition in this world. In God's providence, we're going to face opposition. Tonight I want to look at three different occasions, three different passages of Scripture where men were opposed in providence. Now, we know God controls all providence. Everything that happens in providence is God's doing. So, here's the question that we're going to try to answer in these three examples. How do we know when opposition in the Lord's providence is showing us that Christ is for our way or showing us He's against our way? How do we know? We're going to receive opposition. And God's going to be teaching us one of these two things. Either that He's for us or that He's against the way that we've chosen. But we're going to face opposition. So how do we know that? How do we know which of these things is true? All right, our first example is where the Lord is against the way that somebody was going. Now this is in Numbers 22 and we're dealing with Balaam. And you know Balaam's a false prophet. He's a false prophet. Now Balaam, the thing that Christ did to Balaam, He's doing for His people. The Lord's doing this not for Balaam, He's doing it for His people, and He's doing it for His glory. Now, our purpose in looking at Balaam is to try to learn something about God's providential dealings with us who are His true children. We're not really going to get into Balaam too much. We're just going to look at God's dealings in His providence. Now, you recall that God's enemies had come to offer Balaam a reward to curse God's people. That's why they came. They were going to give him a reward to curse God's people. And the second time they came, God told Balaam he could go on one condition, if they came a third time and called him. And then he would have to speak only what God told him in His word, or he would have to do what God told him to do in His word. Now look at verse 20, Numbers 22:20. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee. And he's saying there, they'd already come twice. He said, if they come to call thee a third time. If they come to call thee, he says, rise up and go with them. But yet, and this is important, the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. He didn't just say the word I shall say unto you, that shalt thou speak. He's saying in what he's telling him right now, and in everything that's going to transpire, what I say do, what I say unto you is what you shall do. That's what you to obey. Now that's very important because this is the first way we know if the opposition in God's providence is for us or against us is this. Are we doing what God has said do? Are we walking according to His Word? That's the number one thing. But Balaam went his own way rather than heeding the Word of the Lord. Numbers 22:21. Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Now that was the reason God opposed Balaam. Balaam was going in a way which was not God's way. God told him, wait for a third call, and he didn't. Therefore, Christ stood in the way, and he stood in the way against Balaam, using something in his providence. Now, notice this. Number 22, verse 22, at the end there, it says, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, Balaam can't see Christ standing in his way. This is who the angel of the Lord is. It's Christ. And Christ did this not for Balaam's good. I want you to remember that. He's a false prophet. But God's way always involves these three key principles. You see, he said he stood in the way. He stood in Balaam's way. Because Balaam's way was not God's way. So what's God's way? Here's four things always involved in God's way. Number one, God's way is always according to His Word. This book tells us exactly what God has us to do at all times. You don't have to guess about it. It's in His Word. It may not be spelled out for you in every example of every situation, but the principle is here. It's all here. Number two, God's way brings God glory in Christ. God's way always is going to bring God glory in Christ. Number three, God's way is for the good of God's people. God has an elect people that Christ redeemed, that He's calling out, regenerating. God's way is always for the good of His people. Always. Even when it doesn't look like it to us, it's for the good of His people. And number four, God's way is always drawing His child nearer to Christ to trust Christ more and more. Every time. Balaam's way was against God's way in every one of these key elements of obedience. It was against God's way in all four of these. Now, Christ is the Lord of hosts. Our Savior is God. And our God is the Lord of hosts. That means everything that He's created is at His disposal. He can use it any way He gets ready. All the time, anytime. He's the Lord of hosts. All the hosts in heaven and earth are His. He made them to be at His disposal. That means we ought to pay attention in providence because everything that God is, that's coming to pass is God's providence. And He's using everything in providence. He can use everything. Look at verse 22. It says, now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. What do you think of these three? His donkey and his two servants. Which one do you think the Lord would use? They're all at his disposal. Which one would he use to show Balaam he's in the wrong way? His two servants would seem like the logical choice, wouldn't it? That's not who he's going to use. He's going to use this ass. You see, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And so we need to be watching because God can speak to you in a donkey if He wants to. Now, Christ is able to hedge up our way. He's able, wherever the way we're going, and He's able to hedge up our way and the way of His enemies so that if He has something to teach us, we will get the lesson. God never wants to teach you anything. He's going to teach you. If He wants to teach you, you will get the lesson. Now that's just so. Look at verse 23. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And his sword was drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Now this was the first time ever that Balaam's donkey had not obeyed him. This was the first time ever that he had done opposite of what Balaam told him to do. This would have been a real good time for Balaam to ask those four questions, wouldn't it? If something happens in Providence and it has never happened before to you, that's something that ought to get your attention. This would have been a good time for him to say, is this way that I'm going, is this according to God's word? Is this way that I'm going, is this for God's glory? Is this way I'm going, is it for the good of God's people? And in this way I'm going, am I trusting Christ when I'm going in this way? Those would have been the questions that Balaam should have asked at this point. But we see, in this false prophet, we see what a hard heart will do. Watch this, verse 23. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. That is, into Balaam's way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. Now, this is the second time that his beast has ever disobeyed him. And this time, when she disobeyed him, she goes and she crushes his foot against the wall. Wouldn't this be a good time for Balaam to ask, okay, my ass disobeyed me a second time, and this time my foot got crushed. Maybe I'm not walking in the way of the Lord. Maybe I'm not walking in the way of the Lord. The Lord gets specific, doesn't he? He crushed his foot. Crushed his foot, but he didn't. He smote the ass again. Well, next the Lord hedges up the way even more narrow. Look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Now, if you're Balaam and your beast just fell down under you, bowed down under you, this would be a good time to start thinking, I might ought to bow down and submit to my God. I might ought to bow down and submit to Him. But not the hard heart of rebellion. Verse 27 says, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff this time. Now catch this. God said, Balaam, you wait till the third time they call you, then you can go with them. All he had to do was wait. Balaam said, that's just takes too much strength to wait. I'm going to get up, I'm going to saddle my ass, and I'm going with him tomorrow. That was God's way. He didn't want to wait and go God's way, and he exerted no strength to go in God's way. But when it came to Balaam's way, he just worked harder and harder and harder. He smote the ass, he smote it harder, finally he smote it with a staff. Now listen to Balaam condemn himself in verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because you have mocked me. You know that's what disobedience does. Disobedience mocks the master. Whoever our master is that's given the commands, disobedience mocks them. That's what it does. That's what the ass had done to him, mocked him. And I would, he said, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I'd kill thee. You know what disobedience to God does? It mocks him. Now Balaam had mocked the Lord three times. He had mocked the Lord three times. He had disobeyed the Lord three times. And he condemned him on his own self, because the Lord had the ass ask him, why have you smitten me? And he said, because you've mocked me three times. You haven't walked in my way these three times. That's what Balaam was doing. He wasn't walking in God's way three times. And Balaam said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you right now. And there stood Christ with a sword. The pre-incarnate Christ stood there with a sword in his hand. Now listen to Christ use this dumb ass to rebuke Balaam for his madness. Numbers 22:30. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, no. You know who had brought Balaam as far as he was right then and who had never done anything contrary to him? The Lord. The Lord. He's using this ass to condemn Balaam for what Balaam had done to the Lord. That's what he's doing. This was an uncommon occasion. Balaam's ass had never disobeyed him. And uncommon occasions ought to especially grab our attention in providence. But the false prophet was mad because his heart was set on disobeying God. That's what madness is. Now, when we disobey, the only way that we're going to see that we're not walking in the Lord's way is when the Lord opens our eyes. Now, look at this. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. That's where he ended up. You know where his donkey ended up? Bowed down, flat on his face. And now that's where the Lord has brought the ass Balaam. He's brought him down, flat on his face. Now here's another question in our series where the Lord asked the sinner a question. Now listen to what he asked him, verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? First, the ass asked him this. Now the Lord asked him this. Why have you smitten your ass these three times? Our title is, wherefore hast thou smitten? What the Lord's teaching Balaam is why the Lord has smitten Balaam. And this is the question that in these four questions, we're trying to get to this. Lord, why have you smitten me? If we're walking in the wrong way and the Lord doesn't smite you, children, Christ has put away our sin, but He chastens us. And we're out trying to find, why have you chastened me, Lord? Because we want to walk in His way. And so He's asking Balaam here now, why did you smite this ass? You know what Balaam would have to answer? Because it wasn't walking in my way. It wasn't walking in the way I said for him to go. That's why I'm smiting him. And the Lord's teaching Balaam, that's exactly why I'm smiting you. And whenever the Lord chastens us, brethren, it's because we're not walking in the way the Lord told us to go. It's always that. That's the reason. Now look. Look here with me. Verse 32. Behold, the Lord says, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. That's exactly what he told him. That's why I went out to stand in the... You stood in the way of your ass by smiting him these three times because his way was perverse to you, Balaam. Now the reason I'm standing here in your way is because your way is perverse to me. That's what he's telling me. And the ass saw me, and he turned from me these three times. And unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord. Now listen to this. This is a blind man. Listen to what he said. I've sinned. All right, let's hear what he says. What's his sin? Because I didn't know that you stood in the way against me. Is that what his sin was? No. Now, therefore, if it displeased thee, I'll get thee get back again. Balaam said he sinned because he didn't know the Lord stood in the way against him. But the Lord stood in the way against him because he sinned. Way back there, when the Lord said, wait till they call you a third time, and then you only do what I tell you to do. And he didn't obey the word of the Lord. That's why the Lord stood in his way. Now, how can I know if the Lord's standing in the way, in my way, that I'm going? If we're going to try to serve God in some of these ways, and we face opposition in providence, how do I know if it's the Lord standing in the way? It's not going to be by providence alone. It's not by providence alone. Look now, we're going to have to ask these four questions. Is my way according to the Lord's word? Was Balaam's? Nope. It wasn't. If he'd asked that question right away, he'd have known, this is not the right way. Number two, is my way for God's glory? No, it wasn't for God's glory. He was going to curse God's people. And so number three, is it for the good of God's people? No, he was going to curse God's people. Number four, is it drawing me nearer to trust Christ? It wasn't drawing him nearer to trust Christ, but it was drawing him nearer to be smitten by Christ. So you see, we need to ask the... That meant Balaam's way was perverse before the Lord, because he answered no. He could answer no to all those questions. Now, here's the second example. This time, what we're going to see in the providence of the Lord is he opposed his people. And this time, it wasn't to stop his people at all. And yet his people stopped. It wasn't to stop them, but they stopped. Go with me to Ezra 1. To your right, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra. I might have left something out there. I can't remember. All right, Ezra. You found it? Ezra 1. God delivered children of Israel out of captivity with a king. He sent a redeemer, a king, to deliver them out. Brought them out and said, now go to Jerusalem and build my house. And they went to Jerusalem and started building his house with great zeal. Look at Ezra 1:1. And in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, he's king of Persia, but he's a picture of Christ. He's a heathen king, but he's a picture of Christ. There they were down there in bondage in Babylon, couldn't free themselves, couldn't save themselves. God said in Isaiah, I'm raising up my deliverer. And it was Cyrus he's talking about. And he sent him down there, and he busted through the gates, because the gates of hell can't prevail against our Lord. He busted the gates, and he went in, and he called out, saved the Lord's people out of Babylon. That's a picture of what Christ did for his people. And now they've come back to Jerusalem. Now watch this. He says that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. And that's what Christ is doing. He's fulfilling all the prophets. It says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. And that's important. He put it in writing. He put it in writing. Saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he's charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. God our Father, being pleased with what Christ did for his people in justifying his elect from all our sins, he raised him from the dead. He gave him all power in heaven and earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. And Christ has sent forth the proclamation in the gospel declaring God has charged him to build him a house, a spiritual house, with a spiritual priesthood. That's a kingly priesthood. And that house is God's Jerusalem, that heavenly Jerusalem, His true church, His true people. And that's what Christ is doing through us, using us right now. That's the house we're building. It's His house, the Lord's house. Now look what He said here. Who is there, verse 3, among you of all His people? That's our gospel. Who is there among you of all God's people? Where are you? He said, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. Our God is the God, which is everywhere. He's seated in the heavens. He's in heavenly Jerusalem. And he's charged us. 1 Peter 2 tells us that we're to show forth his praises, who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And what he's doing is, he's taking his people and making us lively stones. He's building up his spiritual house. Stone, living stone by living stone. Not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Through this gospel, he's going to bring the headstone crying, grace, grace unto it. This is what Christ our King's doing. Now look, verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, that is, those that don't go up to do the building and actually do get out involved in the work, he said, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. We can't do anything unless the Spirit of the Lord moves us. And when He moves us, we'll rise up and we will go forth to serve Him in the building of His house, Are you with me? You see the picture here? You see this picture? We're building God's house. Not like they were doing, the sticks and stones. They were building the literal house. They were building that house in literal Jerusalem. We're building the spiritual house in spiritual Jerusalem. And it's by Christ our King, by His Spirit, by Him doing it. And He stirs us up to do the work. And look at verse 6. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. So, they did all this besides their normal free will offering. They were doing above and beyond to do whatever they could to support the building of this house. That's what we're doing. God's freed us from the law. He's freed us from being under the law. He's freed us from being under a tax so that you and I can now, by His power, by His Spirit making us willing, we can serve God willingly. Above and beyond, knowing He's the one doing the provision. That's what King Cyrus said. Whatever you need, I'm providing it, he said. Now go forth and build. And they went forth, stirred up by the Spirit of the Lord to build. But when the children of Israel wouldn't allow the enemy to join them, turn over to Ezra 4:4. People came up wanting to join them, and they wouldn't let them join them. And when they wouldn't let the enemy join with them to build, then the enemy opposed them. And this is all transpiring in the providence of God. This is just like if, you know, we decided we're going to put something on the radio, and all of a sudden we started getting all this opposition. What does that mean? God telling us He don't want us to put something on the radio? We can't judge it by providence. Now watch this. Watch this. Ezra 4:4. Now let's read start with verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. These were adversaries. But they heard it. Then they came to Zerubbabel, to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto Him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up thither. And there's no doubt they probably thought they were worshiping the same God. And they were probably thought they were sacrificing to the same God. And may have called Him by the same name. There's no different in folks in this world that think they're worshiping the same God we do. But look at what they said. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. We're telling men we're going to build as our King Jesus has commanded us to build. That's what we're doing. Now, it says here, verse 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And they hired counselors against them. They hired counselors against them. And Melinda always thinks I'm being, she thinks I'm being, that I keep telling her, I said, folks will hire folks to spread rumors against us. And she goes, oh, they wouldn't do that. They did it in the Scriptures. They hired people to spread rumors about them. Look at this. They hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, verse 23, go to the end of verse 4. They went and they spread, you know, they told the king they're going to cause you lots of trouble. So the king stopped them from building, the king of Persia. Now watch this, verse 23. And when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimei the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and by power. Now surely that's the will of the Lord. This was the king of the land who gave the order, and his governors and his scribes, they went up there and stopped them by force and by power. Look at this. Then ceased the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Now look over at Haggai with me. Let's go over to Haggai. I'll go, the easiest thing to do is go to the end of the New Testament and then go back two books. Go to the Malachi and go back Zechariah and go back to Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. Now we pick up here in verses 1 and 2. This is where, here comes Haggai with the word of the Lord. Do you know how many years it's been since they stopped building? 18 years. They sat there and didn't build the Lord's house for 18 years. 18 years. And the Lord sent them His prophet with His word. Now listen to what the Lord said through His prophet. The second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, since, why were they saying that? Well, I mean, wouldn't you think it, in God's providence, the king gave an order, and his governors and his people came to them and by force stopped them from building. They stopped them from building. And for 18 years, they couldn't build. And they thought that when the enemy stopped them from building, that was God in His providence telling them, it's not time that the Lord's house should be built. That's what they thought. But listen carefully now. This is so important. We cannot judge if God is for us in our way or against us in our way by providence only. You can't do it. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. That's one lesson I want us to get from this, is you just can't look at providence alone and say, well, the Lord's against this. You can't do that. We don't read anywhere in the Scriptures where the Lord told them to stop building. Now, the Lord was ruling those kings, ruling that king and ruling those men that came there and told them to stop. He rules everything in providence. But the Lord never told them to stop building. He never did. In fact, what you're going to see here is what the Lord did when He sent Haggai, what they did after He sent Haggai and stirred up their spirit. If they had done it the day those men had came and forced them to stop, they'd have kept on building and they'd have never stopped. They'd have kept on building. Let me show you what happened. But now, this is so, but then we just saw that the Lord turned that Balaam's ass and He was against Balaam. So how do we know if the opposition we receive is in God's providence, is God being for us or God being against us? Got to ask those key questions. Is what I'm doing according to God's word? Well, was it? Yeah, the Lord said build His house. He told him, build My house. And that's what He's told us, build His house. Is my way for God's glory? Yeah, building the Lord's house is going to bring glory to God. Number three, is my way for the good of God's people? Yes. Building the Lord's house is going to be for the good of God's people. Number four, if I continue in my way, am I trusting Christ? Yes, that would be the only way they'd continue. Because they had so much opposition. And brethren, the very purpose of the opposition in God's providence is to draw you and me to trust Christ more and depend upon Him to provide. That is the purpose of it. Of the opposition. So after answering these questions, we conclude, yes, God's teaching me in this providence, it's time to build. It's time to keep building. But He's teaching me now to trust Him, to trust Christ, to look to Him alone. Now look at Haggai 1:8. That was the case all along. This is what Haggai was sent to declare. Look at this. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build a house. I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. Now, that was the case from the day they stopped right up until this day when He sent His prophet to tell them this. That was the case. All right? Now, let's look at the third example of opposition in God's providence. This was meant to stop His children from what they were doing. Now, the first example was meant to stop a man from what he was doing. The second example of God's opposition in providence was not to stop them, but they stopped. This third example is to stop them from what they were doing. But they didn't want to stop. But they didn't want to stop. It's right here in Haggai. Look at verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, verse 4, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, that's paneled houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. When the enemy opposed them, they really, in their heart, thought, the Lord's teaching me here in this providence that it's not time to build. And so they turned their attention from the Lord's house and they started focusing on their own houses. Now, this is what happened during that whole 18 years that they did that. They would sow in their field and they would reap little. And then they would provide food and drink for themselves, but they didn't have enough and they weren't filled. And they clothed themselves, but they were never warm by their own clothing. And they earned themselves wages, but their losses and their expenses increased in such a rate, along with their wages, that to earn wages was just like to put it into a bag with holes. Their money went out as fast as it came in. Now, this is not a health and a wealth gospel. That's not what I'm saying to you. I'm saying just the opposite to you. Christ will not let his people who are turning from his way and turning from him, he will stand in that way, just like he stood in that false prophet's way. He'll stand in that way when their way is to try to provide for their own house and feed themselves and clothe themselves and find satisfaction in this world. Christ won't let you find satisfaction in this world. He won't let his people do it. He won't let them do it. And he's controlling everything. He has all the hosts there at his disposal. You see that? He's able to give us contentment. And he's able to be that contentment. But he's also able to make it so that when you're striving to be satisfied by this world, you won't be satisfied by it. That's what he does for his people. And notice this too. When they were faced with the opposition, you know, gathering in little and all of that, when they were faced with that opposition, brethren, they never did say, well, it's not time for us to build our own houses. That never came to their mind. When faced with opposition on the Lord's house, they quickly said, well, it's not time to build the Lord's house. But when faced with opposition while building their own houses, they just planted more and made more clothes and ate more and drank more and made more wages and couldn't be satisfied with any of it. But they tried. They tried hard. Same with Balaam. God told him to wait till the men came calling him. He said, that's just too hard. He got up and said, I got to go with them, and went with them. But then when it came to that ass turning out of the way, man, he wrestled that thing trying to get it back in the way and beat it and did everything else he could. You see what I'm saying? He's exerted all this strength. When we're opposed in God's way, we're quick to say, it's not the Lord's will for me to do this. It might be, though. We shouldn't judge it by providence at all. Ask those questions. And we're going to be opposed in serving God. It's harder to serve God than it is to serve the world. I guarantee it. And you're going to be opposed serving God. But the thing to know is God's in control of this opposition. Now, I have to find out, is God telling me to stop it, or is he telling me to go forward and trust Christ as I go forward? Now, we need God to open our eyes to understand this opposition of his providence. Now, let's ask these questions one more time. Here they are building their own houses. They could say, is this according to God's word for me to turn from God's house and spend all my focus on my house? No. In Ezra, in Nehemiah, and in Haggai, God said, go up to the mountain, bring the wood, and build the house. Clear, God saying, build the house, build the house, build the house. But God chose us in Christ, and Christ redeemed us by his blood. And the Holy Spirit has quickened us and brought us together, and he's done it for the purpose of us sending forth the gospel through which he's going to build his house. That's our purpose. So, number one, if what we're doing is for his house, according to his word, what he's called us for, God's for you. Number two, is this for God's glory that I build my house rather than his house? Well, he said in verse 8, Haggai 1:8, build the house and I'll take pleasure in it and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. Our all-powerful head promises to provide us with everything we need as we preach this gospel. That's how He'll be glorified. He's going to do the providing. He promises to make the word effectual in the hearts of His elect who hear us preach this gospel. That's how He's going to be glorified. So, if what I'm doing is to, for His glory, and it's according to His word, then He's not against me because of that. This opposition is not against me because of that. Thirdly, is this for the good of God's people that I build my house rather than His house? No. It's not for God's, the good of His people that I build my house. God said, "I please me to say by the foolishness of preaching, not by me pampering myself and my family by building up my house." That's not how He's going to do it. He promises to call out His sheep by the gospel, not by turning to ourselves and pampering ourselves. Well, is it causing me to trust Christ more to build my house? Am I trusting Christ for building my house rather than giving my time and my focus and my attention, being with the Lord's people, being under the sound of the gospel, sacrificially giving to give the gospel into this world? Is that teaching me to trust Christ, what I'm doing? That would if I was doing that. But if I'm over here at my own house, tending to my own house, then I'm not doing that, am I? I'm not trusting Christ at all. I'm doing what these people were doing. He promised to provide me everything while I'm serving Him. I have to trust Him to do that. He promised He's going to keep me while I'm serving. I've got to trust Him to do that. So, this is the number one purpose in opposition, brethren, is to bring me to understand I have to trust God. He showed me in His Word what to do. He showed me what glorifies Him, what's good for His people. And now He tells me, trust Christ. That's what I got to do. That's what I got to do. So after answering these questions, we judge that God's providence teaching us we'd have to build His house rather than our own house. If we were in their shoes, let's see if that's true. Did we get it right? Look at Haggai 1:9. This is the Lord speaking. You looked for much, lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that's waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you stayed with dew, the earth stayed from her fruit. I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground brings forth, upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hand. What a blessing. What a blessing. If God socks our economy in and brings a drought upon us to turn us back into His way. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? All right, fourthly, let's wrap this up. I want to review what we saw here. Number one, we serve the Lord. Now this year, if we go forward, let's serve the Lord. Remember that. We're serving the Lord, our King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who we're serving. And we're going to face opposition. That's going to be so. It's been not a year yet that I haven't been here. Not a month yet I haven't been here. Not hardly a week yet I've been here that I haven't faced opposition in some way. We're going to face opposition. Number one, our Savior is the Lord of hosts. He's controlling even the opposition. Don't forget that. He's controlling it all. Number two, we can't judge by the opposition alone whether or not we're walking in the way He'd have us to go or not. Don't do that. Christ was stopping Balaam. But Christ was telling His people, it's still time to build the house. And then He was telling His people, it's time to stop building your house. He did all that with providence, but they wouldn't have figured that out by just looking at the providence. You have to, number three, you have to understand in all the opposition, asking those questions. Is it according to His Word, for His glory, for the good of His people, and is it bringing me to trust Christ alone? Got to ask that question. And in the face of opposition and providence, when the answer to these questions is no. No, I'm not doing what God's Word said. No, I'm not bringing glory to God. No, I'm not. It's not good for His people. And I'm not trusting Christ. If you answer no, I can tell you this. Christ is opposing us. He's opposing us. He sent the opposition to stop us. I can prove it. Look at Haggai 2:15. Now I pray you consider from this day upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, you only found 10. And when you came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, you didn't find but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. He's saying that was the purpose of it, was to turn you to me. Because they weren't turned to him when they sat there for those 18 years. He said, now that's why I did it, for you to turn to me. But if you can answer yes to those questions, yes, what I'm doing is according to the word of the Lord. It's for God's glory, it's for the good of his people, and it's making me trust Christ, because this is sacrificial. I can't provide this. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to keep providing for me. This is above beyond my means. It's above beyond my power, my strength, my wisdom, my understanding. I got to trust him to do it. If you answer yes to these questions, Christ is providing for you. Christ is providing for you. He will provide. He's not going to use the opposition against you. He's going to use it to teach you to trust him more, and he'll provide for you. Look here. I got 2:18. Consider now from this day upward. That is, after he stirred up their spirit and they actually went to trust in God and working in his house. He said, now consider this day upward. From the 24th day of the 9th month, even from that day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth? What he's saying to them is this. If you go to your barns right now, they're empty. Because they had sown every bit of seed they had. It was all in the ground. And they had no idea if any of it was going to come up. They had no idea. This year, as far as they knew, would be just like it had been for the past 18 years. They wouldn't have a thing come up and any produce from it. But now, they're doing what the Lord told them to do. Now, they're trusting the Lord. Now, they're walking according to His Word, wanting to see Him glorified and His people taken care of. And this is what the Lord said. From this day, I'll bless you. From this day, I'll bless you. You see what I'm saying? This is how you determine the opposition in providence, whether it's against us or for us. I pray He'll bless it. Amen. Lord, thank you for this word. Help us to understand that your providence for your people is always good. It's always leading us to Christ, to trust Him more. But Lord, you will stand in our way if we're not walking in your way. And make us to always be walking in your way. Make us to serve you honorably, glorifying you, trusting you, doing that which is good for your people. We ask it in Christ's name. As we go forth this year, Lord, please honor your word, honor your preaching, honor your people, honor your son. Do it all for Christ's sake. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.